Some Pac-12 teams are heading to the Big Ten. How will that help or hurt the prospects from those respective teams? Also, we're going to talk about the NIL and how that is impacting college football recruiting and guys that are making a ton of money before they even step foot in the NFL. We're going to talk about all that and more right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Let's go.
You are Locked On NFL Draft. Your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft Show. I am your host, former NFL and AFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And on today's episode, I'm joined by my now co-host, Rob Ring, co-host of today's show. Excited to talk about all the good things pertaining to these great topics that we have going on today. We first want to let you know that today's show is brought to you by Blue Nile. And you want to make your moment sparkle with the jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On NFL Draft listeners get $50 off of purchases of $500 or more. This is a podcast exclusive that also includes engagement. Use promo code Locked On at your checkout. I want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day and jump into really an intriguing topic and very surprising. Two teams heading from the Pac-12 going to the Big Ten. And Rob, first I want to ask you, when you saw that come out, and I don't know if you had any heads up on anything like that that might happen. I was shocked. It seemed like a lot of my timeline didn't see that coming. What were your initial thoughts?
I was absolutely shocked, Croc. I mean, it's, you know, I say that because of just how stable the Pac-12 has been over my entire life. And to have two of the just stalwarts of that league, USC and UCLA, decide to sign on with the Big Ten, is basically going to just kind of crumble away the foundation that has been the Pac-12, the so-called Conference of Champions all of these years. I'm fascinated by how this is going to have the ripple effects on recruiting, as you touched upon. How it's going to impact NFL scouts when they go to these buildings and are able to evaluate these players, and if it's going to have any type of impact on these prospects in terms of where they are going to get slotted in the NFL, and all of the other different levels that this is going to touch. And, you know, I say all that knowing, of course, a couple of years ago, it was the Big 12 that was losing teams. Texas and Oklahoma are announcing that they were going to be signing with SEC and should be starting their play in that league in 2025. But to see the Pac-12 jump ahead of even that, USC and UCLA scheduled to be competing against Big Ten competition in 2024, just a couple of years from now, really was a head-scratcher and a shocking development, in my opinion.
It definitely was. And I think the first thing that I thought about was just kind of the recruiting aspect of it, you know, having to maybe potentially recruit different type of players. And, you know, USC, UCLA in the Pac-12, a little more finesse than the Big Ten. Big Ten, they have a lot of power in that conference. How do you think that would change things, right? Like having to almost change your philosophy, or do you say, you know what, we're not going to change our philosophy to fit them. We're going to make them fit our philosophy in more of a wide open air raid type offense that some of these teams run in the Pac-12.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. That's been the knock on the Pac-12 for so long is, sure, they've got some skill position talent, and California is where you get a lot of the quarterbacks. But at the same time, you don't see the big guys nearly as often along the line of scrimmage. And, of course, alongside the SEC and with a little bit of a tip of the cap to the ACC as well. I mean, the Big Ten just does such a spectacular job of churning out offensive and defensive linemen. So I think that part of the reason why USC and UCLA decided that they wanted to kind of hitch their wagons to the Big Ten train instead was just the idea of being able to recruit a little bit more consistently from the middle of the country and get some of those big guys along the line of scrimmage to be able to perhaps allow those two clubs to be able to compete against the elite teams across the country. And obviously USC has proven themselves as an elite team for a long, long time. And they got 11 national titles, Croc. But with the case of UCLA, on the other hand, I mean, the last time UCLA won a Pac-12 championship, Rock, was 1998. I mean, my goodness, that's a long time ago. USC has won 8 Pac-12 titles since that time. Of course, a couple of them were vacated due to the Reggie Bush scandal and things like that. But still, the point is that the Big Ten was a big winner here because they're going to get that Los Angeles market. They're going to get, in terms of the revenue stream from TV and things like that, they are going to get greater access to all of that rich talent that we just talked about is available in California, where USC and UCLA have dominated recruiting for a long, long time here. So I understand it from the Big Ten perspective. To me, what's going to be fascinating is going to see how the Pac-12 is able to react. Are they going to try to lure a couple of those other teams that maybe are not quite as excited about USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten? Those teams in the Big Ten West that might get pushed out, the Northwesterns, the Purdue's of the world. Nebraska obviously switched over to the Big Ten from the Big 12 several years ago. Maybe that's a club that might be looking to move out west. Will the Pac-12 and Big 12 basically combine, as some are suggesting may happen? I think it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks to see all of the different fallout from this, again, seismic shift in college football landscape.
And the one thing that I think a lot of people aren't really thinking about with this, and maybe some people have brought it up, but the travel. You know, you're so used to playing on the West Coast, playing in the Pac-12. You don't really travel far outside of maybe one or two games early in the season. But now you're talking about having one or two, maybe, you know, kind of local games as it pertains to, you know, UCLA, playing against UCLA, if that happens. And then whatever home games you have, but outside of that, you have to not only travel to the Great North Lakes and everything that's up that way, but in frigid weather as well. And that's not what these guys from Southern California are used to. So what kind of effect can you see, you know, that having on both of these teams, UCLA and USC, excuse me. And, you know, as you being a person that is up in the Pacific Northwest, you understand kind of the rigorous travel and things like that, having to go east, having to go north. How would that affect both of these teams?
I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, as you said, just the weather factor here and travel. I mean, my goodness, you know, how do you – obviously, with the, you know, the ability for all of us to be able to move across the country, we live in a whole different era than years ago. But at the same time, it still can be a nightmare to travel across the country in October, November, December, when the weather starts to turn. And again, if you're used to playing in the blue skies at the Rose Bowl, and you suddenly are going to Camp Randall in Wisconsin or to Iowa or to the Big House in Michigan, I mean, my goodness, that is a long bit of travel here. And we're going to talk about the NIL kind of issues here in a moment. But I think that it just kind of speaks to the idea that these are now athletes, then students, rather than student athletes, the way that the NCAA originally created this. It's very clear that the academic focus of these players is going to be kind of left to the wayside a little bit. Because, again, just the fact that they are going to be traveling further and longer is going to leave less time for students to actually be in classrooms and in lecture halls, especially in the USC and UCLA campuses.
That's going to be tough. And maybe the NIL will help. We're going to talk about the NIL and how that's impacting recruiting and maybe can potentially help UCLA and USC. But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about Rock Auto. And with the ever-increasing numbers that makes and models, it is now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts that your car needs. Why endure often and pointless, seamless, intimidating questioning about your vehicle and wait while the person behind the counter orders the only parts that their computer happens to have or that their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket, so use it. Save time and money while using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years, and they have reliably low prices for every type of customer. And they also have everything that you need. Brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil. They even have new carpet. All right. And you're going to find all these things when you go and explore their easy to use website today to find a solution for your auto part needs. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us, boss? So they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. We want to thank you for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen of the day. And of course, for your second listen of the day, you got all kinds of shows across the Locked On networks, football, MLB, college, pro, all that stuff and more. Make sure you tune into everything that the Locked On network has to offer. So Rob, the NIL has been something that has taken storm. From what you know, what was the NIL designed to do? When they said, you know what, this is going to be a great idea for players to be able to maybe capitalize off of their name, what do you think they had in mind? Because I think kind of some of the things that we're seeing right now is potentially a little bit different than maybe what college had.
Yeah, Croc, I think it's one of those things where the NCAA and the U.S. Supreme Court have kind of gone down a little bit of a rabbit hole here and don't exactly know where it's going to come out. And I certainly appreciate what was trying to be done. I've always thought that it is borderline criminal how in this country you can, join the military. You can, basically asked or allowed to have different substances, whether it be alcohol or other substances that you can, you can purchase or use as considered an adult at 18 years old. And yet, if you were an amateur athlete, at least the way that the college football and college athletics had previously been ruled, then you couldn't make any money. And we saw all of these head coaches and boosters that are just raking in dollars and the celebrity status. And you see players who it's their abilities are why, that universities have the opportunity to build extensions to their program, whether it be something simple as an addition to the football stadium or a new floor on the basketball court or adding some money to other parts of the university. So I certainly love the fact that we have created a situation where young athletes are able to make money off of their name, image, and likeness, which of course is what NIL stands for. At the same time, I think that we are now seeing basically free agency trickle on down to the college and high school level. And frankly, I think that we have a lot of young people who just simply are not ready for the millions of dollars, for the celebrity, for the hangers-on that you will now see, whether it be possible agents, whether it be other people who have maybe impure intentions of latching on to these players and trying to use them for money and for the celebrity opportunities. So I'm nervous about it. I almost feel like a parent here. I see a lot of young people who are, I think, are being rewarded for their talents. But at the same time, there's an old saying out there that money is the root of all evil. And I certainly understand if you don't have much money, then it doesn't feel very evil to be able to have a little bit of money. But I also think that we have to be very careful about what we're doing to our youth.
Yeah, definitely. The NIL and guys are going to start expecting that, right? The big time payouts, the big time payday, and maybe not prioritizing other aspects of the recruiting process. I do think it is awesome to see guys be able to capitalize off of their name, image, and likeness, because like you said, I mean, that's been going on across these universities for centuries, where they make a ton of money off of this. And we've seen guys like even Reggie Bush get stripped of his Heisman Trophy. They vacated all those, the championships and the wins and everything that happened during that period because, well, he got kind of taken care of a little bit. And I think that part of it is very unfortunate.
That's really where I think that we're going to basically see major college football kind of very much have the big time teams and then everybody else, even more so than what we've seen in the past. Obviously, for the last 20 years or so, it seems like every year at the end, we're talking about the true national title contenders. We're talking about the Alabamas, the LSUs, the Georgias, the USCs, the Ohio States, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not talking about 150 teams. We're talking about maybe 10. And I think that number is going to be even less. I think we're going to see basically 5 or 6 teams across the country who are really, truly going to become the powerhouse teams. And so I think that is unfortunate. I think there's a lot of people out there who kind of root for the underdogs, and we all want to see teams that are based on young athletes who buy in to what their coach and their university is building. Not just a collection of the highest priced talent in all of sports. And so I think that we are seeing kind of, the amateur athlete become the professional athlete in some ways and in some of the negative ways. And so that's my biggest concern at this point. I do want to make sure we have that conversation too about how it might impact the NFL draft, Croc. I think Kayvon Thibodeau was a perfect illustration of this a year ago. There was all this talk about, does this guy beat to his own drummer? Is he truly committed to football? Is he all about just his NIL brand and things like that? And the fact that Thibodeau still wound up going as early as he did, was selected by the New York Giants, obviously, in the biggest media market in North America, I just really think that shows that NFL teams are going to do their due diligence. I think you're going to have to get used to, as NFL draft fans, we're going to have to get used to this idea of, really vetting the personal character of these young players, especially as they get more money and have more of a entourage around them and things of that nature. But I also think when it's all said and done, NFL scouts are still going to evaluate who can actually play football. Who does have the personality and the mentality to really focus in on the game rather than being a gamer outside of the gridiron. And so that to me is what this is all going to come down to. Is NFL teams are still going to be evaluating players. College teams are still going to be evaluating players. But obviously we are going to have a lot younger and more confident crop of young people here. Because younger and more wealthy, I guess I should say, crop of young people here who are going to be deciding for themselves what they think their best future is. And that may not necessarily translate into high draft picks.
Right. We're going to see if we can at least help some of these colleges stay in the mix. USC, UCLA, they are heading more towards the north part of the states. And the NIL might be a big tool for them to kind of utilize to be able to recruit maybe some players from that area that are a little bit more familiar with the circumstances there. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the Pac-12 guys, UCLA, USC, and kind of what's going on with those pro prospects that they have. But first, we want to talk to you a little bit about Built Bar. And from the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built Bar are giving coconut brownie chunk the puffs treatment. Let's go. I love Built Bar puffs. That's right. Coconut brownie Built Bar flavor. If you love it and you know it's delicious, it's chewy, it's marshmallow, it's covered in 100% real chocolate, it's fluffy, and it's like a cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They are good for you. They are low calorie, low sugar, high in protein, and delicious. Coconut brownie chunk puffs are here. And only for a limited time. And like most Built Bars, if you think this is something you're into, you need to jump on it right now. They are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides a ton of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. And the best part about the Built Bar Puffs, aside from all the healthy, things that's good within them and whatnot, they taste amazing. But you can only enjoy them guilt-free. Because they actually are good for you. They are a perfect treat, perfect when you are craving something, perfect when you're on a road trip like I am right now, who's on the road heading back from California to Arkansas. What do I have in my bag? Built Bars, and you can too when you go to built.com. Right now, use promo code LOCK15 and get 15% off of your order. Again, use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, Rob, let's talk a little bit about, you know, heading back to, you know, USC, UCLA, and maybe some of the prospects that are there in the Pac-12. What are your thoughts for that?
Yeah, you know, Croc, we talked a lot about USC a week ago, you know, and just the fact that with Lincoln Riley signing on with the Trojans to be their head coach and all of the different transfers out there, USC truly is loaded. And so I'm going to focus in on some of the other players that are joining the Pac-12 this year. And looking through and doing a little bit of research on this topic, I mean, there's some 300 plus players who have entered the transfer portal and wound up signing with different Pac-12 teams or leaving Pac-12 teams. So, I mean, we're talking about an awful lot of players, and there is no question about it that the NFL scouts out there are basically going to have to do a lot of extra work this year because they're not going to have that background with a lot of these players. They didn't watch them as freshmen, sophomores, juniors. Maybe they're only going to get 1 year to evaluate them. I think that it's ultimately going to make the scouting at the ground level this year, and certainly in terms of the all-star games, that much more important. You're going to see a lot more focusing on the scouts talking to each other and huddling up because, again, they're just going to be adding a player to their team, their responsibilities that previously was at Michigan or at Clemson or whatever the case might be. So one of the players that I definitely want to talk about here is somebody kind of in my own backyard, so to speak, University of Washington, quarterback Michael Penix Jr., who previously was at Indiana. He had some time with Kalen DeBoer, University of Washington's head football coach, now taking over there. And I think it's because of that familiarity with the offense, the fact that the Penix is a talented player. I mean, this past season, he struggled a little bit. He only had 4 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, injury-plagued year, had 57% completion rate, which is the lowest of his career, coming off of an ACL. But when he was with DeBoer, he was really successful. University of Washington has to do something to get their offense back on track. So to me, Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback at University of Washington, is one of those kind of immediate impact transfer caliber players that I want to make sure I talk about. And that's with all due respect to the other quarterbacks that UW currently has. Sam Heward is a highly touted player. He had relatives, the Heward, Brock and Damon, you know, Luke even, who went to North Carolina. I mean, the Heward family is as respected as anybody in Washington lore. Sam Heward has that chance to be that guy. But I think that Penix is the favorite heading into the season to be their quarterback. And so, again, immediate impact guy. I kind of teased about the idea of USC before, and I wasn't going to talk too much about them, but everybody wants to focus in on the receiver, on the quarterback, on the running back. Eric Gentry, the edge rusher from Arizona State, to me is a guy that we've got to talk about as a possible immediate impact kind of guy in USC as well. I mean, 6'6", 215 pounds, Croc, and this guy has some real bend to him. 45 tackles a year ago, 5 tackles for loss. I really think that this might be the edge rusher that USC needs, given that they lost Drake Jackson a year ago to the NFL draft, and they have a lot of transition on that team. So to me, those are two players that jump out.
That's great. A lot of very talented players, not just in, you know, the Pac-12, but guys moving around all over. We're going to dive into some more of these guys on future episodes. But, Rob, I definitely want to thank you for today's show, dropping some great knowledge on some guys over there in the Pacific Northwest with Washington right there in your backyard. We want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. And for your second listens of the day, you got Locked On 49ers with myself and Brian Peacock. You got Locked On Chiefs with my guy Ryan Tracy, who's moving right now. He'll be back soon. And got Locked On Seahawks with Rob Rang. But that's going to do it for this episode. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Peace.